Although many of us strive to be the best dad we can be, many physicians struggle with finding balance between their life at home and their life at work. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, the show where we discuss topics involving our minds, bodies, beliefs, relationships at home, and upping our game with our business practices and financial knowledge to better improve our role as dad in the lives of those around us. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, physician, husband, father to two boys, and self-proclaimed imperfect dad. Join me as I learn to raise my own imperfections within all these topics. Now, let's get to today's discussion. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel. And in today's episode, I wanted to just talk about an article that somebody posted randomly on Facebook because, you know, that's where we get all kinds of things. But it was about kids and about how to basically raise a child who's set up to be an entrepreneur or something along those lines. And I thought it was an interesting article. So I wanted to talk about it, the key points that they discussed, because I think this is one of those things that we see online a lot and everybody's got an opinion. Not sure how many of these people are specifically, you know, pediatric focused or even involved in kid development, but it's always interesting to read these things. So I wanted to talk about it. Before I get into it though, if you have not yet subscribed to the show, please do. That way you will be notified the first moment a new episode comes out, so you can get a chance to listen to that as soon as possible. Also, if you've not yet left a review, please do so. Those reviews help get this show higher up on the ranking list, which means more people can find it if they're looking for it. And last thing, if you think somebody can get something out of this, share it with a friend. You never know what people will get out of something that you've read or heard. We all have different opinions and different thoughts on things, and it's always interesting to talk about that and I think kind of get an idea of what other people see from this same information. With that said, let's talk about some information. So this article that was posted online, it's titled Four Factors from Childhood That Are Strong Indicators of Success. And it was on entrepreneur.com by Blake Johnson on December 8th, 2021. So that's the information. If you want to go look it up, you can. But I'm just going to talk about my thoughts on it because, you know, it was about kids and about success. You know, we all want our kids to be successful, right? And we all want to know what the key to success is for our kids. And do I really think there's a set number of keys that's going to get them there? Probably not, because we all have very different backgrounds. And many people find different ways of getting to success. It also depends on what you think success means. I assume the entrepreneur website means business. It means maybe financial success. We all have different definitions of what success is for not just us, but for our kids. So I think that's important to, before we get into these things, ask yourself, what to you is success for your child? Well, let's talk about the four different things. So the first thing they talk about is the company kept. Company kept obviously being who are you around, but who are your kids around? And I think we all know kids influence each other in various ways. So I definitely agree on that. And I'm not going to, you know, read through everything that they say in here, but basically the concept is whoever your kid hangs out with is going to become a little bit like those people. And you may have heard the concept, you know, you are the average of the five people you hang out with. And to be honest, it's true. You know, you look around and you say, who are the five people that I more commonly am around? Who's my core group of people? And you'll notice you share a lot of things alike. And over time, it's probably become very similar. Kids are the same way. I mean, you look at kids who hang out. They start to play the same sports together, do the same activities together. They might like to watch the same shows together, play the same games together, and eventually they all become that way. And so it's important to know who your kids are hanging out with, even from a younger age, and decide, you know, does it make sense for my kids to be hanging out with them? Now, that is not a comment saying you should choose your kids' friends, right? But it's important to know who your kids' friends are, because I hate to say this, but let's say your kid is hanging out with somebody whose family sees things very differently than you in the world. And we had a situation like this, actually. It was a while ago, and these people ended up moving away, which to me was a little bit of a blessing because I didn't have to approach it. But it was a situation where, and we're not talking about religion, we're talking about race. Sadly, politics was a big part of it, but very nice family. But one of the people in the family had very strong opinions about certain topics, and I'm not going to get into details, but came down to where these topics were being brought up a lot and starting to get very offensive in how it was being talked about. And soon, the children were saying it as well, because, you know, if dad says this, it must be true, right? And this was just when our kid was like five, our oldest son, six maybe. And so he wasn't that old and obviously very absorbing to the world around him. And being around people with strong personality types who are very opinionated, he started to say just a couple things. They weren't a lot, but a couple things that were huge red flags. And I was like, oh man, I don't know if we can really hang out with these people anymore. Or I don't know if I can trust having, you know, our son over at their house by himself with a play date or something like that. Not because I'm trying to be controlling, but these were things that were being said that to me, in my mind, were very offensive and should never be something that is said around a kid, let alone have a kid learn about it. And so I had to ask myself, gosh, what am I going to do as my son gets older? How am I going to handle the situation? Now, luckily, I didn't have to worry about that because those people ended up moving. And that saved me the hassle of trying to figure that out. Now, I don't want my child to only be around people exactly like him. That's not what I'm trying to get at here either. Maybe you're hearing me say this and say, oh, you just want your kid to hang out with the same people who have the same, you know, political beliefs and religion, blah, 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 as you. And that's not true at all. Because I'm a firm believer of, you know, variety, hearing everybody's opinion. I have a ton of friends, if you want to say politics on the left and on the right, I have a ton of friends of varying religions, obviously genders and gender identities and those kind of things too. So I'm very accepting to people. And I want my kids to be. I want my kids to be accepting as well. But when it comes to certain verbiage and certain phrases or words being said that are offensive and shouldn't be said, but are being thrown around like they don't mean much, eventually that obviously comes to a problem. So it's important when we know that with our kids too, because, you know, our kids' friends grow up just like our kids do. And although all of our kids start out very cute and very sweet, eventually they start to learn things from the people around them. And you will pick up on and then see in some of your kids' friends, they might start to say certain things that they really shouldn't be, and it's probably coming from home. And that's where you start to ask, is this something that I should address? Is this something that I should talk to my kid about? Do we need to do play dates with somebody else? And I hate to say that, I mean, because that sounds very controlling, but, you know, we do have to kind of see who our kids are hanging out with and how it might influence them. Because I know for me growing up, when I got home from school, I just hung out with my friends. My parents were at work and, you know, I didn't hang out at home very much. I would literally walk home, drop my backpack off, and I'd be gone the rest of the day until it was time to come home for dinner or even after dinner. And so I think it's important. It's important to know who your kids are hanging out with and just at least make sure it's not going down the wrong path. Now, this person continues on with, you know, their comments on it, basically saying, you know, if, you know, when you look at the people around you and how you're, you know, become like the people around you, if you're the smartest person in the room, then you need to find new friends because you don't want to be the smartest person in the room. So that was, you know, the concept is basically if you're not challenging yourself enough, then that's not good. And that reminds me, of course, of, you know, with the movie Rounders. And basically in the beginning, it says if in the first 15 minutes, I think, of in a poker room, you can't spot the sucker, you're the sucker. Right? So it's the same idea there. You know, look at who is around you and make sure those people who are around you bring out the best in you and challenge you in the right ways. And that's the same for your kids. You want the people around your kids to bring out the best in them and challenge them in the right ways. You know, your kid doesn't have to be the best at everything compared to their friends because that doesn't challenge them. But you also don't want your kid to feel like a complete failure around your friends too. And again, failure, I know, is not a topic that we use in the negative sense all the time. But when I say that, what I mean is you don't want your kid to feel like they're so far behind their friends that they can't catch up and now their self-esteem is really low or something like that. So you have to watch those things. So I do agree with that because I think that not only builds character in kids, but it builds self-confidence in those things as well. So that was their first point. The next one's education. And, you know, when somebody talks about education and entrepreneurship, I think we all jump to this conclusion that kids have to go to, you know, a private daycare or a private school, a fancy college, whatever it is. And that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about how you teach your child from an early age and teach them to love to learn. You look at a lot of kids nowadays, many kids are taught to love screens. I know I've talked about screens. I'm not trying to, you know, approach this topic again, but you think about it. Kids are basically taught when they're at home not to learn to love, but to learn to just let mom and dad do their thing and here's a screen, go figure it out. And so in some cases, you have these kids who don't learn to love to learn. And when that's the situation and they get to middle school or they get to high school, that motivation is gone. They have no motivation to learn. They could care less. They'd rather be doing something else, right? And that education starts early. So they talk a lot about teaching your kid to love to learn, and I totally agree with that. You know, I think it's important for us as parents to, you know, challenge our kids, be there with them, you know, go through their work with them and talk about their homework with them, make sure they're understanding it. But not just that, but teaching them about the world around them, you know, having those discussions, you know, doing other things at home that can help your child learn to love to learn. So I'm trying to think of an acronym there, but I'm not going to come up with one. So maybe you can come up with one right now. So that I think is important. So education, not again, looking at the private stuff, because again, I think kids can thrive in any form of school setting. They just have to be set up right. They have to be set up to succeed. So that was education. The next one's accountability. Now, accountability, we use that term a lot in a lot of different aspects. You might hear people who are on diets, and if they don't have somebody holding them accountable, it's very easy to fall back, right? It's very easy to fall back on eating healthy or exercising and those kind of things. If you're starting a new project, but you don't have anybody watching over you, it's very easy to fall apart on getting that project done. You need to be held accountable, right? And that's the same thing with our kids. We have to hold them accountable. So their point in this was teaching your kids not to be able to slack off and, you know, not to lie or take the easy way out of getting it done. And I totally agree, right? Because if you have a kid who is trying to get their homework done and they're freaking out about it, instead of having your kid be accountable of getting that work done and kind of, you know, helping with the education side of it, you just tell them the problems or tell them the answers, you know, they don't learn. It's the easy way out. And then they get older and they get put in those situations. Well, they don't know how to fix them. They don't know how to get out of them. They don't know how to be independent in those situations. So the accountability side is, it's a balance of letting them do things on their own, but also making sure they're moving in the right direction, right? We hear a lot about helicopter parents, and we hear a lot about, you know, these parents who basically cheat to get their kids into the appropriate college and universities, which is crazy because now you're saying, okay, well, the only way my kid can succeed in life is to be a part of, you know, XYZ, you know, Ivy League school. But if they get in there not on their own accord, they're going to have no clue how to thrive once they're there, let alone pass their classes or succeed in a business world. And so the whole concept of accountability is teaching your kid early on to be accountable for their actions, accountable for what they do, you know, the projects they start, all those kind of things. And so I totally agree. Accountability is definitely a big topic, I think, for all of us. And we all know accountability helps us move along in the world when we're adults. And so obviously for kids, it's important for them to learn about accountability as well. So I do think that third topic's good. And the last one they talk about is self-motivation. And self-motivation basically being the idea that your child can basically motivate themselves to get things done. And the example that the author uses in their article is basically, you know, in the business world, a lot of successful business people were people who saw something missing in the world or something within like a project or something like that. And instead of saying, I wonder who's going to take care of that, or I wonder how that's going to get done, it was, well, there's a gap here. I'm going to be the one to fill it. And then they figured out how to fill it. And then, of course, they became successful in business in that specific field because they were the only one doing it. So how do you do that with your kids? You know, they don't really mention that in here, but I think there's a lot of ways to teach your kids how to do that. Some of that might be just games, right? Board games. You got to learn how to function with a board game. Now, little kids, their board games aren't exactly strategy. You draw a card and you follow the spots or the color and that's it. But as kids get older, there's definitely games that they can play, not video games, not talking about that. I will say some RPG style games might help with that, I guess, but that's different because that's totally based on reward systems. So this is a whole different concept with the brain there. But for kids playing certain board games that require more thinking, more design, or how to solve a problem, that can absolutely help with that self-motivation. I mean, I think, you know, we talk a lot about kids who get bored, and we all, as parents, hate to hear it when our kid is there sitting in a pile of toys screaming how bored they are. And sometimes we feel the need to fill their time, right? Or we need to solve their boredom. We need to find something for them to do so then they stop bothering me or something like that. And so then it gets to our kid no longer knows how to self-motivate themselves. They say, hey, I'm bored. Mom, dad, fix this. And if we're constantly fixing it for them by coming up with things for them to do, again, handing them a screen to entertain themselves, putting them in daily activities like sport, activity, this, that, that, to where they have no downtime to be bored. They never learn how to self-motivate. They never learn how to come up with ideas on their own. They never learn how to fix problems because someone's always done it for them. And then they get into, you know, school age, high school, college, business, whatever it is. Now they don't have anybody to fix those things for them anymore. And they have no clue how to do it. And so that all starts at an early age as well. So you can go back to the second point of education and really look at that. And really all these topics, you know, it all starts young. It all starts when kids are in this younger phase of life and you're trying to mold them into, you know, hopefully somebody that you feel is going to be successful or at least set up for success in whatever they want to do. And again, you have to define what success is. You know, I've talked a lot about that. In my other previous shows with success, I've talked a lot about the mindset of kids and how the brain functions and how early on you're setting kind of core foundations. And then after that, you're developing more critical thinking. And again, here we're talking about a lot of core foundations into the critical thinking stages of life. But these four things that this author talks about, I actually do think and agree with that these four things are very important for setting up a kid for success. Now, again, not talking about entrepreneurship success, though. In my world, it's, you know, just being a successful human being. And so I think it's important to think about those topics and ask yourself, what are you doing for your child? How are you teaching them to be set up for success in whatever that means in your life? So think about that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You can send me an email at imperfectdadmd@gmail.com, or you can go to the website at www.imperfectdadmd.com and leave me a message there. Otherwise, I hope you're staying healthy, staying safe, embrace those imperfections, and I'll see you next time.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.